Hi, we're back with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters, and I think we're ready for Sister Dora. Hello, Sister.
Hello, hi. So yeah, Peter, you were just speaking about the voids of love, and this passage that you read really, I mean, it feels really consoling. You know how the privations of Jesus, he said, it's like doubling our love for him. So, and it's just I remembered. I think a 9th of November was the feast of Saint Elizabeth of the Holy Trinity. So we were just listening some short like a documentary about her, and I remember she said she only needs to recollect herself to feel Jesus in her. So she talks a lot about the divine indwelling, and it really struck me. But I mean, how much Jesus loves her, how much Holy Trinity loves her to be dwelling in her and all. But I think we really don't realize, I mean, most of people don't feel the Holy Trinity dwelling in them. But actually, how much mercy is that? Because even though, you know, we want to love God and all, but we are just so forgetful and, I mean, sinful, of course. But it's really maybe God's mercy, you know, to even though you want to feel God in yourself, but you don't really feel it. It's actually, you know, his mercy saving you from the fires of purgatory. And yeah, I mean, that was my thought. And then I was just reading from the volume 24, May 20, 1928, the necessity of the continuation of acts, how they form many hours to call for the dawn, the virgin dawn of redemption. Yeah, you were talking. We were talking also before about being to persevering in acts. So Jesus says to Louisa, "My daughter, continue on. Do not want to stop, doing her rounds. You must know that everything has been determined by the Supreme Being. Prayers, acts, pains, sighs." That the creature must do in order to obtain what we ourselves want to give her and that she longs to receive. So if these acts are not performed, the longed-for sun does not rise from us in the midst of the long night of the human will to form the day of the kingdom of the divine fiat. This is why many times it happens that many acts and prayers are done and nothing is obtained. But then, because of one more little sigh and prayer, one obtains what he so much longed for. Was it perhaps the last act to obtain the deed of grace? Ah, no. It was the continuation of all the acts and prayers. And if it appears that it is obtained through the last act, it is because that one was needed to complete the number established by us. So if you want to receive the kingdom of the divine will, do not stop. Otherwise, since the long chain of acts that reaches up the throne of God would be missing, you will not obtain what you want and what we want to give. The acts are like the hours that form the day or the night. Each hour has its place. Some hours form the evening, others the deep night, others the dawn, others the rising of the sun, others the full day. And if it is the midnight hour, in vain would one expect to see the sun rise. It is necessary that at least the dawn come to court the nearing day in order to see the majesty of the sun that dispels the darkness with its empire of light. And putting an end to the night, pearls all nature and makes it rise again in its light and its heat, molding everything with its beneficial effects. So, yeah, and it is really unnecessary to think, at what point are we, at what hour are we now? Because, I mean, many people nowadays, you know, are speculating, you know, what will happen next, you know, in the history of salvation and like where we are at this purification process or sanctification. I mean, everybody is aware that something big is coming. Like we were just talking at the breakfast today, like I mean, also before the birth of Moses and before the birth of Jesus, there was also like the killing of the innocents that is happening right now with the abortion laws and all. And I mean, it is obvious that, yeah, something big is happening. So really, those are also this innocent martyrs. What we can do actually, like to pray in the divine will, like that this thought very often comes to my mind at the adoration, like you know, in the divine will we can pray for their souls, like to baptize all these aborted children, like you know how we are praying for the, especially in this month of November, for the souls to be freed from the purgatory. Like, yeah, we can also pray for this little unborn children. And all these things that we are doing, all these acts and rounds and offering it to the Holy Trinity in the divine will, those are all like, you know, delicacies of love that like kisses we give to Jesus, actually. And yeah, so... And it says in this volume, so the Holy Trinity established like how many prayers, how many acts, how many sighs, you know, for the coming of this kingdom of the divine will. And I was also thinking like, so those who will be living in it actually will be the children of the divine will. Ultimately, those will be the saints of the latter days. Also, St. Louis Montfort is talking about them. So, I mean, maybe also the plan of the evil one, you know, with the abortion and all, is like to stop them from being born. I mean, and kind of, I also feel like... to pray for those, like, for the future saints, like, to, in the divine will, really to keep offering to God, to the Holy Trinity, their divine lives, because, I mean, many times Jesus tells to Lisa how pleased he will be with them, with those children.
Very, very, very important. You know, it's interesting. It reminds me also, Sister Dora, when you were talking about that, and you know, we're doing. You know, God's asking us to do, but it's not visible. This is all spiritual. And I love that volume 11, March 15th, 1912, when he tells Luis and tells us, of course, quote, "It seems like Luis says, it seems like the souls who do my will do nothing." Well, Jesus says, "But while they do nothing, they do everything." So as we start to regroup and stop maybe some of the things we are doing, God is repositioning us, remolding us. And I think that's part of, you know, Mother, we talked about the giving up even holy things when our Blessed Lord asks us to do that, as well as Our Lady. Our Lord asks us to do it in volume 17, September 18th, 1924. And Our Lady asks us to do it in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, day 22. Not to throw it out the window, not to do away with it altogether, put it on hold. Pause it until we embrace this gift, because now there's a greater good coming from it. Now we go back to those devotions or whatever we were doing that were holy. Now we're doing it for all souls, past, present, and future, not just for those around us. Hello, Sister.
Hello. So connecting to what Sister Gloria was saying earlier about love, like it's really true. Like whenever we have voids of love in our hearts, like if we don't like love everyone the same way, or if we don't love God with all our strength, with all our mind, heart, soul, and body, or if if we have any like disordered loves in our lives, like those are all like blocks from us totally living in the kingdom of the divine will. And as Sister Gemma was saying earlier, whenever we strive to live in the kingdom of the divine will, when Jesus looks at our souls, he sees these little Nazarites. And it's so important just to do everything with love, because at the last judgment, Jesus isn't going to ask us, oh, like, how many like chores did you do? Or like, did you say 1,000 rosaries? No, Jesus is going to ask us like something like, how much did you do like things with love? Like, how much love did you have? Because love, as scripture says, love covers a multitude of sins. And in volume 8, July 14th, 1907, Jesus tells Luisa about how everything in the soul must be love. So Luisa asked Jesus a question. Lord, yesterday I went to confession. If I had died, since confession remits sins, would you not have brought me straight to heaven? And he, my daughter, it is true that confession remits sins, but the surest and most certain thing to be exempt from purgatory is love. Love must be the predominant passion in the soul. Love, her thought, her word, her movements, everything, everything must be enveloped by this love. In this way, finding her all love, the uncreated love absorbs the creative love within her, itself. In fact, purgatory does nothing but fill the voids of love that are present in the soul, and once it has filled these voids, it sends her to heaven. But if these voids are not there, it is not something that belongs to purgatory. So throughout the day, we can ask Jesus, like, Jesus, I want to love others with your same love. Jesus, I want to love you with your own love. And just placing your I love yous by doing rounds, like placing your I love yous in creation. As you do work throughout the day, even if it's the most insignificant work, like taking out the trash, if you do that with great love, in the eyes of God, that just taking out the trash with love is so much greater than someone like sculpting a statue without love. So it's really just love that like true love for God and for our neighbor that really purifies us. And a great model for us to love God is the Virgin Mary. When she was at the foot of the cross watching her son die, she never cursed or hated the people who are hurting her son, who are like throwing rocks and stones at him. She forgave them and she loved them. And I'm sure she was, and she was even praying for them, I'm sure, for their conversion. And on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So his immense love and his sea of his divine mercy that really purifies us. And it's so powerful just asking Jesus, Jesus, I want to love you with your same love.
And it's really, you know, if you think about it, sister, you know, this is the most intense thing in our lives. I mean, to journey the divine will. And when I mean intense, I mean, it needs all of our focus, all of our energy, all of our strength. But it's okay to take those breaks. Jesus even tells us it's okay to rest. Just make sure you don't go out of the will. He says that in the volume 8. I love this. June 25th, 1907. He says, where is it? My daughter, courage, do not fear. If you feel stopped, but be careful to make your stops in my will, without going out of my volition at all. I too make my stops in it, but then in a twinkling of an eye, I do more than what I had done in years and years. And quote. So again, we can take that breath. He tells us too, there's much he's given us that we haven't fully masticated. So that's another thing that Mother, I think, is really important to us, you know, to go through some of these, especially when we get perked by something. We all have slightly different dispositions. So something may resonate with me that maybe doesn't resonate with one of you, and vice versa. It's important to follow up on that, because that may be another entranceway into a greater and deeper cavern of this divine world that God wants to give us. Back to you, Mother, sisters.
Yeah, we can go to our San Marino sisters now, I think. Are they ready?
Okay, let me bring, I'm going to ask them to unmute. I'm going to pin them also, and sounds terrible, but bring them up there.
Hello,
we're not wrestling. It just that's what it's called. I have to pin you. I put the video up is a better way of saying it.
These sisters are so good. They trust me.
Trust you with the computer?
Yeah, I'm always the adventure nun. I start. Well, pray for me.
You're the fearless leader. We follow you.
My meditation today is something simple in one way. I hope that all of you have already read this part. I find this part very, very beautiful. It's about the Eucharist, how we have to receive the Eucharist. And the first meditation is from volume 11, November 13, 1915. And Luisa starts saying, after I have received Holy Communion, I thought to myself, how should I offer it in order to please Jesus? Also here we can stop and we can say our error sometimes is, okay, how can I please Jesus in myself, with myself? No, how can I do something, offer the Eucharist for please Jesus? So is since the beginning, we have to put away our eyes far from ourselves. We have to think about Jesus more than ourselves. So she said, how should I offer it in order to please Jesus? And it always benign told me, my daughter, if you want to please me, offer it as my own humanity did. Before giving communion to others, I gave communion to myself. And I wanted to do this in order to give to the Father the complete glory of all the communions of creatures, and to enclose within me all the reparations for all the sacrileges, for all the offenses that my humanity will receive in the sacraments, since my humanity encloses the divine will. It encloses all reparations of all times. And since I receive myself, I receive myself worthy. I find these three things to meditate on them. The first thing is to give glory, complete glory to God, to the Father. If I give something of myself or something, for example, I can pray for myself to ask grace, or I can pray for other people, is only a part of ourselves. But for the most important thing is to give glory to God, is to give glory to the Father. So we have to enclose, in one sense, is the only sense, all the creation, because we are not a part of the creation. In ourselves, we contain all the creation, but not in a ideal. It's not an idea. It's a real, because we have Jesus. We have the humanity of Jesus. So if we are united to Jesus, we can do the same things that he did in his relation with the Father. So we have to give complete glory to God. Every time we go to communion, we have not to say, Jesus, I know. Jesus, I enter into you for entering the relation that you have with the Father. So this is more important than to ask something to Jesus. It's more important to enter in the intimacy with Jesus for going to the Father. So give complete glory to God and not focus on our needs, no human needs, no spiritual needs, only the glory of God. Because we have to realize because we are really children of God. And also, very important is the part that you say, I enclose in my humanity all the reparation for all the sacrileges. So since the beginning, he was merciful, infinitely merciful, with every single soul that committed this kind of sin, that we is an abominable.
Abominable.
He's incredible. It's too big. So it's not only the sin, okay, we can commit every kind of sin. We are sinful, but a sacrilege to the Holy Eucharist is very demonic. And he was so merciful since at that time to be ready to forgive and to give reparation. So reparation, it means to give love and glory to the Father in their name. So it's something that we can do also. And also I continue to say, and since the works of preachers were divinized by my humanity, with my communion, I wanted to seal the communions of creatures. Otherwise, how could the creature receive a God? We have no space for receiving God. There is no no space in our soul. Only also Our Lady was not enough. Her Immaculate Conception was necessary. The divine will operating in her soul for receive the humanity of Jesus. It was my humanity that operated opened this door to creatures. And earned from them that they might receive me. Might receive me. Now you, my daughter, do it in my will, united to my humanity. In this way, you will enclose everything, and I will find in you the reparations of all, the compensation for everything, and my satisfaction. Even more, I will find in you another me. So. Try, it's important to detach ourselves. Before Mother was talking about detachment for other creatures, but also for ourselves. So we have to detach it from ourselves to focus on Jesus, to dress our soul with his humanity, and after start to receive worthily the Holy Communion. Because he has to receive himself in us. Another passages can help us to say something else about the Holy Eucharist. And it's from volume 24, June 12, 1928. Jesus told to Luisa, and it was the Feast of Corpus Domini, "My daughter, the true marriage with humanity was done in creation. Nothing was lacking, either to the soul or to the body. Everything was done with royal sumptuousness." Sumptuousness. Oh, it's too difficult for me, this word. "An immense palace was prepared for the human nature, such that no king or emperor can have one similar to it, which is the whole universe." So I was thinking, sometimes we think, oh, how beautiful is my house? How beautiful is my room? How beautiful is my car? But we are the owner of the whole universe. We have to broken our minds and to think in another way. We are the top of the creation. And he said also, so we have to offer all the universe in every time we receive the Eucharist. And at that point, since at the beginning of creation, was made the perfect marriage. And there was not Eucharist at that time. The Eucharist was only the remedy for the sin. And the sin was to broken the marriage between human will and divine will. So the Eucharist is the medicine. The Eucharist is the, Jesus said before, the seal of the divinity in the humanity. And he continued, "My divine will, which dominated humanity, brought him the new continued act and the likeness of the one who had created him and married him. But in such great feast, men broke the strongest bond in which lay the whole validity of our marriage, and through which he had been in force, that withdrew from our will. Because of this, the marriage was broken, and since all the rights even were lost, only the memory of it was left, but the substance, the life, the effects no longer existed. And after he continued, now the sacrament of the Eucharist, in which my love have overabounded in all possible and imaginable ways, cannot be called either the first or the true marriage of creation. For I do nothing but a continuation of what I did while being on earth, according to the needs present in souls. With some I make myself the compassionate doctor, in other to heal them, with some the teacher to instruct them, with some the father to forgive them. So in any situation, he is the doctor of the mind, the doctor of the heart, the doctor of the blood. But he say, I cannot marry a woman who is sick. We first have to be healed. So it's important to receive Jesus, not thinking about ourselves, but to enter in his humanity. So it's important, it's necessary to read these writings, enter in his humanity, and make him able to receive himself in us. And at the end, he's saying, now the condition in which pure humanity finds itself is still that a poor, ill one. So we are in this condition. But in some part of the writings, Jesus said, the son and the daughters of the divine will, they live like the is the new humanity. We are really resurrected in spiritual way, not in the body. So we can receive the Eucharist, giving the glory to the Father, not only for to heal ourselves. Yes, we are still on the process of healing, but we have to really believe that we are in the era of glory. At the beginning was the era of the law with Moses and the prophets, the era of the grace, and we are still in the era of the grace. But with the divine will, we are in the era of the glory. We have to give glory to the Father. And this is the most important thing to do when we receive a Eucharist.
Very well said. Thank you. You know, I have a quick thought of that. You know, you prompted something. Sister, think about it. When something is new, usually there's somebody who demonstrates how to do something or how to use it, right? Someone's used as an example. So just think about it. Our catechism, Article 507, states that our Blessed Mother is the perfect model and example of the Church. Okay, so we know that for a fact. Now let's go to the City of God, the mystical City of God, Church approved. I think it's book number 3 at the Last Supper, when Jesus instituted the Eucharist. Who received Jesus first? His Blessed Mother. The example to all of us. Who can give glory to God? Who can not think of themselves? Who can be charitable? Who can do everything perfectly? In that respect, it's Our Lady. So perhaps if we're lacking that, we go to Our Lady. Please give us the grace to receive him worthily.
This is the hope for us, because she didn't receive Eucharist for be healed, but for give glory of God. She received the perfect divinity in herself, and she gave back the divinity to God. It's not only for to be healed. And also, not only the Eucharist, but all the knowledge of the divine will are deposited in Luisa and in Mary. We have to take from her, from them.
Bravo.
And even the healing made me think about, like, the healing that you get from Holy Mass. You know, your mind will be healed from listening to the Word. You know, your heart will be healed from you know, offering everything, all of yourself, you know, to God. And then you receive the Eucharist and your soul's healed. So you receive a lot of healing in Mass. Every Mass is a healing Mass. And also when you were talking about, like Mother was talking about too, about not being attached to things, and you had mentioned not being attached or to people and not being attached even to yourself. I think that's the hardest thing, because I mean, the world tells you to make something of yourself. Hmm. You've got to, but you know, stand out in some way. You've got to, you know, but we have to find our identity in Christ, in Jesus. think of ourselves in Jesus, not how I can, to be important, you know, all of this. Anyway, and also it also made me think about when Jesus, when he was on the way to Calvary, and then with the women, the weeping women, the ones that were weeping for him, and he had said, don't weep for me, but weep for your children. You know, so he wasn't. If you're finding yourself in Jesus, what did Jesus do? He wasn't thinking of himself, and he even says it in the volumes. You know, that he wasn't thinking about his own suffering and like feeling sorry for himself. He was thinking about the good that was going to bring out. You know, he was thinking about the salvation of souls. He was thinking about glorifying the Father. And like what you were saying, so this is our frame of mind has to change. But of course, we don't do that. We cooperate with grace. We cooperate with because it's already there. It's done. Jesus did it. But we have free will, so we have to choose to cooperate with grace. And he had given us all the instruments. With Holy Mass, we get fed. With confession, we have forgiveness and redeemed through that, and so he's really given us everything. My meditation was on June 11th, 1922, volume 14. The title here is Natural Life. The natural life symbolizes the spiritual life. Louisa was saying, she said, I was thinking to myself, how is it that the spiritual life also undergoes so many changes? While one is convinced that this will be his life, then when he least expects it, he is flung somewhere else, dragged along who knows how many painful consequences, which make the heart bleed. One can say that because of the so many changes one undergoes, it is a continuous martyrdom. And it's so true. It's like Sister Dora was mentioning earlier, when you don't feel anything, you want to feel things. You read about the mystics and they had all these beautiful experiences, but that's the thing, as part of the martyrdom, and if, the life of Jesus, his whole life was suffering, so it's something that we have to accept, but we have to have a different way of looking at suffering, of the redemptive aspect of but it purifies ourselves, but also all of humanity. And then Jesus said to her, my daughter, indeed the spiritual life must be a continuous martyrdom, because it must be similar to the first and greatest of martyrs, myself. And if it were not so, it cannot truly be called spiritual life, but larva and shadow of it. Then it is necessary that it undergoes various changes. This in order to make it reach the proper stature and to render it noble, beautiful, and perfect. If the human nature itself, which is less important, undergoes who knows how many changes in order to reach the proper stature, what more so the spiritual life, which is more important than the natural life and superior to it. Even more, the natural life symbolizes the spiritual life. So I think this makes me think how our reality is the natural life, but the true reality is the spiritual life, and that's another thing that we have to change the way we see things. And then he goes on, he says, he gives an example. He says, observe now, how many changes does a natural life go through? It is conceived inside the maternal womb, and there it remains for as long as 9 months in order to form the little body. And when it is formed, it is forced to come out. If it wanted to remain inside, it would die because it would lack the space to grow. And so it would suffocate, jeopardizing its life and that of the mother. Now, if this conception were formed outside of the maternal womb, who would provide the blood and the heat to form the little body? Moreover, since the members are extremely tender, the air itself would kill it. How much care is needed with the little newborn? Heat, cold, and even the constraints of the maternal womb can be deadly for him. And therefore, swaddling clothes, cradle, milk, etc. If one wanted to give him some other food, the little one would not know how to chew it. And so his life would be put in danger. But then the time also comes when he becomes capable of taking food, the swaddling clothes are removed, and he learns to take a few steps. Do you see? We are still at his infancy, and he has already gone through three changes. Now, what would one say if this little one, seeing himself placed on the ground so as to take the first step, in fear of being snatched from the arms of his mama, screamed, cried, and refused to have any of it? One would feel free, will feel sorry for him, because in the arms of his mama, he would never become a man. Without motion, he would not become strong nor developed. And that's us too. You know, sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid to let go of what we're comfortable with. We're afraid to let go of everything that has, you know, it's makes us feel secure. You know, so it's our lack of trust in the Lord, really. And then he goes on. He said, now let us come to the true spiritual life. It is conceived in my womb. My blood, my love, and my breath form it. Then I feed it at my breast. I swaddle it with my graces. Then I continue by making it walk with my truths. However, my design is not to form a child to play with, but a copy fully similar to myself. You know, this is, even the church teaches this. You know, we are to be deified. Is that how you say the word? Mm-hmm. Deified. You know, we're to become Jesus. This is the whole point, and I love how he explains it here, and in just a simple way, you know. And he goes on, he says, and this is why changes occur, for nothing other than to let it reach a mature age and give it all those privileges and prerogatives which true spiritual life contains. Otherwise, it would remain like a baby in swaddling clothes, who instead of forming my honor and my glory, which is what Teresa was just talking about, because the point is to reach there to where we honor and glorify God, because that's what Jesus did. Then he goes on, he says, would form my sorrow and my dishonor. But how many are those who remain only newborn or at most swaddled? Very few are those who work together with me to become a copy of myself. So I would say, just like what the Lord says in scripture and what the popes have said in the past, do not fear. Do not fear. Know that God is with you. He wants this for you. And sometimes he puts us in, and he pushes us and puts us in situations that is out of our comfort zone, but because he wants us to grow, he wants us to overcome something. So just trust in the Lord and don't be afraid. And yes, the fear is going to be there. You may feel fear, but just be courageous with Our Lady, you know, have her, ask for her intercession, and she will help you. She'll take you by the hand, and she will help you make that step with God's grace.
Yeah, courage is so important. Yeah, it reminds me also, sisters, thank you for that. Volume 10, October 6th, 1911. Jesus says, courage, be at peace, be faithful to me. Don't act like a child who makes fusses for everything. End quote. So we have to sort of go with the flow, trust in him, acknowledge him, allow him to lead. It takes a lot of sacrifice to be formed. We have to give up a lot of things. And that's, I think, where our human nature fights every day. Hello, Sister Scholastica.
Hello. Well, I was there was a passage that I found today. It was from Volume 2, September 21st, 1899. And we talked about it before, how in the divine will, things are repeated sometimes in a different way, or there are common things, you know, spoken about. Well, one of the things that we read a lot about in the volumes is Luisa's constantly asking about the state that she's in. And I found this passage when it's at the very last paragraph that I'm focusing, very short passage here. Luisa was saying, what is the purpose of my state? And she wrote, and my most loving Jesus coming back told me, my life was necessary for the salvation of the peoples. And since I could not continue it on earth, I choose whom I pleased in order to continue it within them, so as to continue the salvation of the peoples. This is the purpose of your state. So, and this made me remember in the past when we have spoken about when Luisa had asked Jesus, well, why didn't you give us a divine will when you were here on earth. You could have told us yourself, you know, about the divine will. And he said, because it wasn't time, the world wasn't ready for the divine will. And then we mentioned throughout the whole history of the church, how little by little, like, we have more revelations, more mysteries, more dogmas and whatnot. And this goes to show that Jesus himself said that, my life was necessary for the salvation of the peoples, and since I could not continue it on earth. So he says that was why he chooses whom he wants to help him continue with this salvation. The salvation history is still ongoing. And it goes to show also why, another reason we've spoken about this, why Our Lady keeps on coming back with usually the same message, is because Jesus couldn't do all of it at the same time when he was on earth. It's a continuous thing. That's why we have the revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then also we have the revelation of divine mercy, because so many souls were still being lost despite everything that he went through in the Passion. That's why he appeared to Faustina, and he gave us the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday, and the great gift of getting our baptismal innocence back. And it goes to show, this is a very clear thing for Jesus to tell Luisa. And this is from volume 2. So from the very beginning, Jesus was very clear to Luisa, saying what her state was, what was her purpose of what's going on with her. So that's why it was, on one hand, it goes to show also how human Luisa was, because we know there's 36 volumes, and yet at volume 2, she's given a very clear statement, what is God's mission for her? And yet throughout the other volumes, we notice that she keeps on asking about her state, you know, is this of God and whatnot? But I just thought that this was also reminding us how many times visionaries, especially the Marian apparitions, they would ask, well, why me? Like, you know, like, why appear to me? And Jesus says, I choose whom I please in order to continue it within them. And like Benedicta had mentioned earlier, that, you know, we are given sufferings and crosses, you know, God sends it to us, but God never gives us anything that we can't handle. So no matter what happens to us in our lives, that's why another reason why we can't compare with each other, compare lives, compare faults or weaknesses or even strengths or talents, because everyone has their own specific mission. That God has a reason for that. There's a reason why all of us are born in a certain time and place in the whole history of the world. So as I think Mother has also said this in the past, we should really count our blessings that God has allowed us to be chosen, to be born, to be a part of this time now, because we have the gift of the divine will. So, yeah.
Yeah, actually, he articulates that, sister, in volume 16. I don't have the date in front of me, but he talks about it. He used the analogy of the cog, you know, how Jesus is the main cog. God is the fuel, the power of everything. But he's calling a small group of souls to be intimately, so intimately close to him that it's never before happened, except, of course, for Adam and Eve. And that is going to, again, play into this playbook. God's got the book written. He gives us auditing capability because he doesn't invalidate our free will. But every time we try to audit it, we mess it up. So if we just keep the book the way it is, it's going to be good. I wanted to just mention one thing before we go back to Mother Gabriel. I'll do it later. Let's go back to Mother Gabriel, Maria, and the Benedictine Daughters in the Mother House. Maybe Mother has some closing comments for us.
Okay, I just was looking at, again, on volume 35. Yesterday, it was November 12th, 1937. Our Lord was saying, as the creature gives it the freedom, the divine will to operate, it calls its immensity and power and encloses everyone and everything in that act. Our divinity receives in that act the love of each creature. Can you imagine one act, one I love you, goes through every creature. Every creature is saying, on your behalf, I love you, God, I love you, God. We hear in that act the voices and the heartbeats of all hearts saying to us, we love you, we love you. She gives us the adoration of each one and everything that they owe to their creator. She animates everything. And we hear in that act, even the sun, the heaven, the stars, the whole creation saying, we love you, we adore you, we glorify you. Creation doesn't have a voice. We become the voice to love God and all that he gave us as gift and all that he created for love of us. Therefore, we receive everything from our will operating in the creature. Our love for each creature is returned and our glory is complete. Our will can give us everything, although it uses the act of the creature. So taken by love toward the one who let it operate in her act, it says, I give you all, my daughter. I will place you before our Supreme Majesty as the one who loved us for each and every one, who gave us glory and adoration for all, who made us loved even by the sun, the heavens. The whole creation harmonized, and all created things were saying among themselves, love, love to our creator. Therefore, I give you the merit for everything. All is yours. My will is just not capable or willing to operate unless it encloses all and does everything. So God does everything. When we go to communion, we can say, Lord, I want to love you. I want to receive you in the name of all souls, past, present, and future. I want to love you with your own love in the name of all souls, past, present, and future. And it's happening because we believe it, because we have to have faith in these writings. We believe it, it happens. That desire of our heart becomes a reality to him. Louisa says, I remained surprised and I said to myself, is it possible? Is all this really possible? And my Jesus added, my daughter, don't be surprised. One single act of my will is greater than heaven and earth. Its immensity has its no boundaries. Its power has no limit. It has everything and everyone in its hands. It operates with infinite love that can give love for all. And after it has loved for all, oh, how much is of it is left. Our love is perfect. He says, a soul who lives in our will is all for us. She keeps us constantly busy. She always loves us, but with our own love. Each time she does her acts in our fiat, we renew the works of creation, and to amuse ourselves, love her and make her love us. We use every act she does as material to renew our various created works. So, you know, how great is the divine will? One act in divine will is so great because it's an act of God. It's a divine act, which is eternal, has no beginning, no end. Our human acts have a beginning and an end. So let's do everything in his divine will. Read the volumes, get really strong faith in these writings. And and as you do that, each act and round you do in divine will is so much more significant, a much stronger act, much stronger round because of your faith, knowing that God is really doing these things in you, and you're giving him all the honor and glory he deserves. And that's what we all want, to give honor and glory to God. Not that we're looking for ourselves. We don't want to live in his divine will because we want a higher place in heaven. We want to live in his divine will to give him honor and glory. We want it to be very selfless, not selfish, not thinking of only what we want or what is good for us, but what does God deserve? You know, that we all live in his divine will to give him honor and glory. And when we give him honor and glory is when we get joy. That's where our happiness comes from. We were made to know, love, and serve him, to be happy in this life and the next.
Yeah, it's good to laugh sometimes too and be happy. You know, Mother, every time I hear about when Jesus says that how we keep the Trinity busy, or Louisa keeps the Trinity busy, I always think about, you know, clean up on aisle six. Clean up. I mean, we're constantly doing something that needs repair and needs help and needs assistance. We're really, we have an inability to do anything very well. So we do everything with God. It clears us up a bit from that danger zone, at least one of them. One bit of advice Jesus gives us, and I think this is really important. I know I need to say this more often. Perhaps it'll help someone else. This is from Volume 9, November 2nd, 1909. He says, quote, turning back to the past makes you slow your pace on the present journey, and so you lose time and do not advance on your way. On the other hand, by looking only at the present, you shall have more courage. You shall remain more closely united with me. You shall advance more on your path, end quote. And, you know, when I read that, Mother, about losing time, I remember about the admonition from the souls in purgatory spoken through the mystics, that if they had a regret, they regretted the fact that they didn't make better use of the time while they were on earth. We can use that advice. We can use that supplication from them and do a better job with that. That time we have on earth, because we don't know how long that's going to be. Mother, as always, we thank God for everything. We thank you and the sisters for bringing this joy and this knowledge and this experience to each and every one of us today. And we're really overworking you, though. I think we've been 4 Sundays in a row. Thank you so much. And every Thursday on Radio Maria at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, we didn't talk about charity today, but that's for another day. But charity is love, and charity does bind. It's the glue for all virtue. So if you can, if you want to visit Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, website, and if you're in a position to help out financially, no, Mother has not asked me to do this promo, but you know they're going to be moving to Tennessee, and again they've been graced with a gift of property, but there are a lot of incidental costs that can add up. So anything you can do would be a joy, would be beneficial. And remember, Jesus says charity is the bind and the bounding of all of our virtues. So we thank God. We thank God for each and every one of us and for everyone that can help out in that capacity. I'm going to let's see. I'm going to unpin this. I'm going to allow everyone to say goodbye to Mother and the sisters if they would like to. And that can be happening right now. All you need to do is unmute yourself. Okay.
Bye, Mother. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, sisters. Bye, Mother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, sisters. Bye, Margaret. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.
Good to see you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, Sister Mary Claire.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Can you hear me? I don't even know if you can hear me.